Lecture topic, The Luminous Light, Part 1.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala al-mab'uuthi rahmatan lil alameen. Wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa man walahum bi ihsanin ila yawmiddin wa ba'd. Faqad qala jalla wa ala fi kitabihi al-majid wa furqanihi al-hamid. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولو شئنا لبعثنا في كل قرية نذيرا وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم وعن أنس بن مالك رضي الله تعالى عنه قال كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا صلى الغداة جاء خدم المدينة بآنيتهم فيها الماء فما يأتون بإناء إلا غمس يده فيها فربما جاءه بالغداة الباردة فيغمس يده أو كما قال. Honorable scholars, respected brothers, elders, mothers and sisters, many examples can be cited of prominent personalities throughout history who, in addition to benefiting mankind during their respective lives, equally had a profound impact on society after their demise by virtue of the noble legacy they left behind. However, there is only one example, without exception, in the entire annals of history of a person who, apart from benefiting mankind while he was alive or after his demise, Allah's Qasam, he equally benefited mankind before his birth, and that was Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There is no other human in the annals of history that, as an unborn child, his blessings were experienced, his barakat was appreciated, both locally in Arabia and by extension across the globe. Secondly, when we speak of prominent personalities, the maximum we can say, he was an amazing child, a brilliant young boy and a talented adult. That's about all. But when it comes to the Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was just not an amazing child. Wallahi, he was an amazing baby. And that term again is exclusive to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because in any other circumstances, a baby, there's no degree of communication. Hence, you cannot attach the quality of uniqueness to a baby. And I'll support this and substantiate it. And thirdly, and very importantly, the maximum we say in the praise of any person is loved by all, respected by all. But in the case of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was loved by all and adored by every object, animate or inanimate. Hence he sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Hada jabalu yuhibbuna wa nuhibbuhu." Leave the world, even Mount Uhud can't do without me. Leave the world, even Mount Uhud cannot do without me. Now let's just look at the amazing union, the marriage of Nabi alayhi salam's parents, the outstanding pregnancy, and the grand birth and the amazing arrival. Ibn Sa'd makes mention of the narration. He says, حَدَّثَنَا وَهْبُ بْنُ جَرِيرُ بْنُ حَازِمٍ قَالَ حَدَّثَنَا أَبِي سَمِعْتُ أَبَا يَزِيدَ الْمَدَنِي يَقُولُ أَنَّ عَبْدَ اللَّهِ أَتَى عَلَى إِمْرَأَةٍ مِنْ خَثْعَمٍ that Abdullah radiyallahu anhu, the father of the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, passed by a woman from the Khath'am tribe. The narration of Bayhaqi ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma says, وَكَانَتْ ذَاتَ جَمَالٍ, a woman of exceptional beauty. Another narration of Ibn Sa'ad, أَنَّ قَتِيلَ بِنْتَ نَوْفَلْ أُخْتَ وَرَقَ ibn Nawfal. We're referring to Qatila, the daughter of Nawfal, the brother, the sister of Waraqa ibn Nawfal. Now we know Waraqa ibn Nawfal was the very person to whom Nabi alayhi salam was taken when he received his first revelation. And there's a dedicated book that speaks on the iman of Waraqa ibn Nawfal. Anyway, this woman seen Nabi alayhi salam's father, فَرَأَتْ بَيْنَ عَيْنَيْهِ نُورًا سَاطِعًا إِلَى السَّمَاءِ. She seen this divine light glowing on the forelock of Abdullah radiallahu anhu. She seized the opportunity and she came forward and she said, I'm proposing to you. Abdullah radiallahu anhu said, I will look into the matter and I will get back to you. But this choice was divinely planned by Allah for Amina radiallahu anha. No woman could possibly snatch this honor from Amina. No woman could possibly snatch. On the plan of Allah, by the decree of Allah, this relation and this nikah took place. This union was consummated and the greatest human was conceived. Subsequently, Abdullah radiallahu anhu passes by this woman again and the topic of nikah comes into discussion again, but at this point she declines. So Abdullah radiallahu anhu asked her, initially you proposed to me. I said, I will look into the matter. I did get married, but now I see you refuse blatantly. What is the reason? She answered, Mararta wa bayna aynayka nurun sati'un ila sama. When you passed the first time, there was this divine glow, this celestial light beaming on your forelock. The light is no longer there. I'm convinced you are married. The relation has been consummated and this light has been transferred into the womb of your wife. Congratulations to you, Abdullah, and to your wife, Amina, and to you as a pair. Undoubtedly, you will be the greatest parents planet Earth has ever seen. I read this narration in Khasais al-Kubra of Allama Suyuti, rahimahullah. Then I did some homework on the very narration in Sirat al-Mustafa. And there is Ta'addud al-Turuq. This is a bit of an academic debate, but for the benefit of the scholars I shade. He concludes in Sirat al-Mustafa, the author, given the multiple narrations in this regard, one has to conclude in the terminology of Muhaddithin that these narrations enjoy the rank of Hasanun li ghayrihi, which enjoys a great status of authenticity as viewed and understood and graded by the scholars of Hadith. In the terminology of Muhaddithin, we refer to the miracles performed by a prophet post-prophethood as mu'jiza. And the books of Hadith are filled in this regard, mu'jizatun Nabiyyi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the supernatural performances of a prophet. So there are many, many miracles, you know, it runs into the thousands. In the case of Nabi alayhi salam, suffice to say the Quran was the greatest miracle. وَكَلَامُ رَبِّي لَا يَجِيءُ بِمِثْلِهِ أَحَدٌ وَلَوْ جُمِعَتْ لَهُ الثَّقَلَانِ. And then we refer to a term, and that's the supernatural performances of the pious people. We use the phrase karama. وَكَرَامَاتُ الْأَوْلِيَاءِ حَقٌ. We believe that the supernatural, miraculous things at the hands of the pious, Allah Ta'ala, causes them to perform certain miracles. This is a reality which is authentic and substantiated. And there is yet a third term, and that is istidraj, and that refers to the supernatural performances which are supported by evil forces. So there are people that transgress the limits of Allah, yet they do peculiar, strange, uncommon things. This is referred to as istidraj. Now in the terminology of Hadith, there is one added term as well, and that is the supernatural performances of a prophet pre-prophethood. And in the instance of Nabi alayhi salam, just not pre-prophethood, wallah, pre-birth. Pre-birth, obviously the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not perform it himself because he was an unborn child, but there is consensus by the historians, it was as a result of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Hence it is attributed to him, and this we refer to as irhas. وَكَانَتْ إِرْحَاصَاتُ النُّبُوَّةِ تَتَبَدَّى لِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. And as he drew closer to prophethood, these miracles started persisting. You know, they came down repeatedly one after the other. Now, according to the narration of Tafheem al-Quran, 50 days spot on before the grand arrival of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, that marks the greatest moment in the annals of human history, Abraham mobilizes his forces, comes with the nasty agenda to destroy the Kaaba. Abdul Muttalib, the grandfather of the Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is the custodian of the Kaaba at that time. Ibn Jarir and Ibn Hisham both make mention of the narration and the couplets of Abdul Muttalib. Lahumma innal abda yamna'u rahlahu famna' hilalak. La yaglibanna salibuhum wa mihaluhum ghadwan mihalak. In kunta tarikahum wa qiblatana faf'al ma badalak. وانصرنا على آل الصليب وعابديه اليوم آلك يا رب لا أرجو لهم سواك يا رب فامنع منهم حماك إِنَّ عَدُوَّ الْبَيْتِ مَنْ عَادَاكَ إِمْنَعْهُمْ أَنْ يُخَرِّبُوا قُرَاكَ. These were the profound couplets of the custodian of the Kaaba, Abdul Muttalib, the grandfather of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He said, "Oh my Lord, إِنَّ الْعَبْدَ يَمْنَعُ رَحْلَهُ." Each man prides himself to protect his fort. فَمْنَعْ حِلَالَكَ, you take care of the sanctity of the Kaaba. لَا يَغْلِبَنَّ صَلِيبُهُمْ وَمِحَالُهُمْ غَدْوًا مِحَالَكَ. غَدْوًا أي غَدًا, مِحَال أي قوة. Allah, let not their might and their strength dominate over us tomorrow. وَانْصُرْنَا عَلَىٰ آلِ الصَّلِيبِ وَعَابِدِيهِ الْيَوْمَ آلَكَ. And aid us against these infidels, O Allah. يَا رَبِّ إِمْنَعْ مِنْهُمْ حِمَاكَ. O Allah, protect your house against them. لَا أَرْجُو لَهُمْ سِوَاكَ. My hope is in you, O Allah. Let them not desecrate and destroy and violate and invade your Kaaba, O Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deployed the birds at that time. As the Quran says, everything can form the army of Allah. It's what He decides to deploy at which time. Sometimes He deploys the winds. We are seeing, my brother, how Allah is deploying the earth. In 90 seconds, 220 billion estimated cost. I'm saying, my brother, yesterday was Haiti. Today is Chile. The day before that was tsunami. And the day before that was Turkey. When will my eyes open? Allah speaks of 8 winds in the Quran, Ibn Kathir's narration. 4 winds are violent. 4 winds are rahmat. وَأَرْسَلَ عَلَيْهِمْ طَيْرًا أَبَابِيلَ وَأَرْسَلَ عَلَيْهِمْ طَيْرًا أَبَابِيلَ. Allah said, we deployed birds. تَرْمِيهِمْ بِحِجَارَ. A insignificant creation, apparently as a sparrow, which carried a pebble in its beak and hurled down upon them forcefully. فَجَعَلَهُمْ كَعَصْفٍ مَأْكُولٍ. Reduced them to smithereens. Historians write, لَقَدْ بَدَأَتْ بَرَكَاتُ مُحَمَّدُ بْنُ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ تَنْهَالُ عَلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ وَعَلَى الْإِنسَانِيَّةِ جَمِيعًا وَهُوَ جَنِينٌ فِي بَطْنِ أُمِّهِ. The blessings of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were experienced by the Quraysh primarily and by humanity in its entirety while the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was an unborn child. Reverse the situation. How often today the unborn child is the cause of discord? They're arguing what color theme should we make the room. The child is not born. There's discord. I had a couple that phoned me one day, they got married, and then they pushed the phone. Morana, tell him, isn't he should make the first Eid by my parents? I said, Ramadan, we haven't cited the crescent of Ramadan. The argument is, how do we split Eid day between my parents or your parents? The unborn child has become the cause of discord. Yeah, the master is not born and decisions are taking place on earth. Consensus amongst the scholars. فَعَظَّمَتِ الْعَرَبُ قُرَيْشًا. The entire Arab world started respecting the Quraysh. And what did they say? هَؤُلَاءِ أَهْلُ اللَّهِ. هَؤُلَاءِ أَهْلُ اللَّهِ. These are the people of Allah. لَقَدْ قَاتَلَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَكَفَاهُمْ شَرَّ عَدُوِّهِمْ. I mean, look at how Allah intervenes for these Quraysh. These are divine people. Scholars write, وَكَأَنَّ ذَلِكَ كَانَ تَمْهِيدًا مِنْهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى لِذَلِكَ الْيَوْمَ الَّذِي وُلِدَ فِيهِ مُحَمَّدُ بْنُ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ. Allah was just leveling the ground and laying out the red carpet for the grand arrival. For the day, for the coming of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now the pregnancy of Amina radiallahu anha was a unique pregnancy. Inna ummahu Amina lamma hamalat bihi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lam tajid ma tajiduhu al-hawamilu adatan min al-wahni wal-da'fi. فَكَانَ هَذَا آيَةٌ. Amina radiallahu anha did not have to contend with the common challenges that an average pregnant woman has to contend with. I should add even the husband. Just as when the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam committed the Quran to memory, I mean, look at this. When Jibreel would come and descend, and then he would read the Quran. Initially, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to read passionately to secure, to preserve. Allah then said, oh Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you don't have to subject yourself to this daunting task. سَنُقْرِئُكَ فَلَا تَنْسَى سَنُقْرِئُكَ فَلَا تَنْسَى إِلَّا مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ. إِنَّ عَلَيْنَا جَمْعَهُ وَقُرْآنَهُ فَإِذَا قَرَأْنَاهُ فَاتَّبِعْ قُرْآنَهُ. Oh Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that applies to the whole world besides you, that you have to repeat it. You will only listen and I'll divinely insert it in your memory. Quran says it. Amina radiallahu anha did not have the common challenges of a pregnant woman. We know it, anyone who is a father, the nausea, the morning sickness, the backaches, the headaches, later then constipation, not to speak of the mood swings. By the way, that carries on after birth also. Yesterday someone told me a nice thing. They say, what do you call a man who surrenders? Who surrenders when he knows he's wrong? You call him an honest man. He's honest. What do you call a man who surrenders when he's not sure if he's right or he's wrong? He's a wise man. He's playing safe, taking the precautionary route. But what do you call a man who surrenders when he knows spot on he's right? He's a husband. What do you call a man who surrenders when he knows he's right? Correct. 100%. You call him a husband. Anyway, Amina radiallahu anha did not have to contend with this. The pregnancy was amazing. It was unique. A. B. لما وضعته صلى الله عليه وسلم خرج نورا. When she delivered the master صلى الله عليه وسلم, what that moment must have been. Oh my Allah, what that moment must have been. A nur, a light. أضاء لها قصور الشام. It lit up the palaces of Syria. ولد صلى الله عليه وسلم مختونا. The master صلى الله عليه وسلم was divinely born circumcised from Allah. قال الحاكم تواترت الأحاديث على أنه صلى الله عليه وسلم ولد مختونا. Imam Hakim says this consensus by the narrations that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was born divinely circumcised. Number four, امتلاء البيت الذي ولد فيه نورا. The whole room, the whole environment was enveloped, was gripped in divine light. ورؤية النجوم وهي تدنو منه حتى لتكاد تقع عليه. And there was a constellation of stars that was gazing down on the birth, overlooking the birth, to the extent that some historians say it was as if a star was going to collapse in the lap of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The great moment happens. Scholars write Allah made it happen at the junction of the day and the night. It was the flush of dawn, the break of dawn. So that the privilege of the arrival of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam can equally be shared, and both night and day can boast to say Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born in me. So it happened at the break of dawn. Some people in a point of nukta argue Allah could have also arranged for the divine birth of Nabi alayhi salam at sunset, because that's also the meeting of night and day. But the answer given by the scholars is that is definitely the meeting of night and day, but it's the disappearance of light and the arrival of darkness. Allah made it at the point when darkness disappeared and light came. So the sun rise and the sun of Nabuwat continues to rise. The sun of Nabuwat does not set. My mother Aisha said, Lana shamsun walil afaqi shamsu. Lana shamsun walil afaqi shamsu. وَالشَّمْسِ خَيْرٌ مِّن شَمْسِ السَّمَاءِ فَإِنَّ الشَّمْسَ تَطْلَعُ بَعْدَ فَجْرٍ وَالشَّمْسِ طَالِعٌ بَعْدَ الْعِشَاءِ. Aisha radiallahu anha said, I challenge the sun of the skies. You brighten half the world, the other half remains in dark. My Nabi radiates light 24/7. So Abu Lahab, the uncle of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, whose actual name was Abdul Uzza, who was also the son of Abdul Muttalib, the brother of Abdullah. By the way, scholars say Abdullah radiallahu anhu, the father of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, passed away at the tender age of 18. This is the view of the Sharih of Bukhari, and this view is held by great giants in the field of hadith. There is difference of opinion. The more preferred opinion is Abdullah radiallahu anhu, Allah called him back at the tender age of 18, after being the father of the greatest human. Well, he had not seen that day, but the honor stands with him. Abu Lahab, his slave girl Thuwaiba comes, and says, a son has been born to your late brother Abdullah. In a moment of joy, excitement, jubilation, overwhelmed, فَهَذَا أَبُو لَهْبٍ عِنْدَمَا سَمِعَ بِوِلَادَةِ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَعْتَقَ جَارِيَتَهُ ثُوَيْبَةَ الَّتِي بَشَّرَتْهُ بِمَوْلِدِ الرَّسُولِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. So when Thuwayba, the slave girl, came and she said, glad tidings, a son has been born to your late brother Abdullah. He was ecstatic, he was overwhelmed, he was gripped by emotions and joy. He said, as a moment of happiness and excitement, I liberate you. And this was customary amongst the Arabs, that they would acknowledge a messenger who conveyed glad tidings. So he liberates his slave girl on the good news of the arrival of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But hear me out very clearly, because I need to draw your attention to a very, very important and significant point in the entire discussion. Tragically, when Nabi alayhi salam grew up and became the greatest human and assumed the position of Nabuwat, the very man who rejoiced over his birth vehemently opposed the cause and became hostile to Islam. He was just not a disbeliever, but he was infidel, he was obstinate, he became a great obstacle to the cause of Islam. And his wife Umme Jamil, husband and wife, had a common agenda, anti-Islam. She had a very, very valuable pendant, and she said, I will spend this, take the money, and harm the cause of Islam. وَامْرَأَتُهُ حَمَّالَةَ الْحَطَابِ وَامْرَأَتُهُ حَمَّالَةَ الْحَطَابِ فِي جِيدِهَا حَبْلٌ مِّن مَسَدْ. Allah speaks about it. Masad, a hadith according to Mujahid's narration. Abu Lahab, before I show you the benefit of his rejoicing on the birth of Nabi alayhi salam, I just want to make you understand how gruesome his crimes were, how horrendous his offenses were. He was the very person that cursed Nabi alayhi salam in public and said, Tabban lak, woe be to you. He was the very person that had insisted on his sons Utbah and Utaybah to divorce the daughters of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ruqayya and Umm Kulthum, and I'm not going into the details. His wife used to sing the couplets, Mudhammaman asayna amrahu abayna deenahu qalayna, that the world calls you praised one, we call you condemned one. One day she walked into the masjid, the narration is in Ibn Kathir, Nabi alayhi salam is sitting with Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr goes in a state of phobia and panic. Oh Nabi of Allah, Umme Jamil, this woman is nasty. She's advancing, she has a stone. She's going to hurl this towards you. Nabi alayhi salam said, relax Abu Bakr, innaha lan tarani. She will come in front of me and she won't see me. So she came right in front. She looks at Abu Bakr and says, where's Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And Nabi alayhi salam, read the narration of Ibn Kathir. Sirat al-Mustafa has quoted the full narration. My brother, I always say it and I will cry again. How much have we read the biography of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam? You want to follow every bulletin? You want to know which match, which who plays when and how and what? And you haven't yet mastered the biography of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Your child asks you a simple question regarding Nabi alayhi salam. Wait, I will ask this scholar, I will ask that scholar. What do I know about the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam? How much have I empowered myself with this life? So when Nabi alayhi salam was favored with Nabuwat, the very person who rejoiced on the birth and liberated his slave, this very person opposed the cause of Islam. However, it appears in the narrations, and listen to me attentively, I beg of your undivided attention. It appears in the narrations up to this day, 14 centuries down the line, until Qiyamah. Notwithstanding the hostility and the aggression, the vice and the transgression, the obstinate nature and the arrogance of Abu Lahab, given the fact that he rejoiced on the birth of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he liberated his slave girl as a mark of joy, every Monday his punishment is reduced in the grave. Read all the books of Sirat. Every Monday he enjoys some concession. Now again, let me take you to one verse of the Quran to appreciate the enormity of the punishment of hell. وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لِخَزَنَةِ جَهَنَّمَ ادْعُوا رَبَّكُمْ يُخَفِّفْ عَنَّا يَوْمًا مِّنَ الْعَذَابِ. The dwellers of hell will suffer such pain and agony that they will beg Malik, who represents the case of the dwellers of hell, and will say, oh Malik, can you strike a negotiation with Allah and see if Allah can just give us off one day and drop us back in hell, we're happy with that. We are so desperate that if we can just negotiate one day of concession, we will jump for that one day. Abu Lahab enjoys a moment of ease and concession and reduction to his torment every Monday in his grave, simply because he rejoiced on the birth of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Hafiz Shamsuddin Muhammad ibn Nasiruddin al-Dimishqi has encapsulated these sentiments very profoundly and aptly in his beautiful couplets when he said, إِذَا كَانَ هَذَا كَافِرٌ إِذَا كَانَ هَذَا كَافِرٌ جَاءَ ذَمُّهُ تَبَّتْ يَدَاهُ فِي الْجَحِيمِ مُخَلَّدًا أَتَى أَنَّهُ فِي الْيَوْمِ اثْنَيْنِ دَائِمًا أَتَى أَنَّهُ فِي الْيَوْمِ اثْنَيْنِ دَائِمًا يُخَفَّفُ عَنْهُ لِلسُّرُورِ بِأَحْمَدًا فَمَا الظَّنُّ بِالْعَبْدِ الَّذِي كَانَ عُمْرُهُ بِأَحْمَدَ مَسْرُورًا وَمَاتَ مُوَحِّدًا. I wish you could appreciate this in Arabic. He said, إِذَا كَانَ هَذَا كَافِرْ, here stands an infidel, جَاءَ ذَمُّهُ, who has been condemned in the Quran, تَبَّتْ يَدَاهُ فِي الْجَحِيمِ مُخَلَّدًا, may his hands perish and he will dwell in hell forever. Ata, it appears in the narrations, أَنَّهُ فِي الْيَوْمِ اثْنَيْنِ, every Monday, دَائِمًا, يُخَفَّفُ عَنْهُ, his torment is reduced, لِلسُّرُورِ بِأَحْمَدًا, simply because he rejoiced on the birth of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hafiz Shamsuddin Muhammad ibn Nasiruddin al-Dimishqi jazahullahu anna khair al-jaza then elevates the couplets to a pinnacle and he says, I throw out a question to the floor and I open it up to the masses. فَمَا الظَّنُّ بِالْعَبْدِ الَّذِي كَانَ عُمْرُهُ بِأَحْمَدَ مَسْرُورًا وَمَاتَ مُوَحِّدًا. Can the words of any language encapsulate the honor, the privilege, the status that Allah will give to that Muslim who rejoices and renews his joy on the birth of Nabi alayhi salam and prides himself with the noble personality, the impeccable character of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam 24/7 till he dies? You know, brothers, how do we pride ourselves? They say this scholar walked into the masjid. If you travel, you know, in North America, in the Western world, you will find the masajid. Every Friday, religiously, routinely, there is a call for collections to complete the masjid, to pay for this. There's an adjacent building. These are, you know, and then the brothers from this masjid would collect at that masjid. The brothers from that masjid would come here and they would alternate and rotate it, that there is lack of funds. So this brother walks into the masjid, the imam, and he says, folks, I've got good news and bad news. Good news is we've got enough funds to complete our project and become independent financially. Everybody is happy. Great. Bad news is the money is still in your pockets. My brother, on that note, I say I have good news. You and I have the formula. Las Qasam, we have the formula to rescue the world from the crisis they are going through. The bad news is we're hoarding the formula. We're sitting with it high and dry. The world is on the brink of destruction. Yesterday my mother was telling me of a tale. One of my cousins have a chemist. There was a non-Muslim lady very recently that was visiting very religiously, a very respected, measured woman, dignified. Every week she would come and she would take these antidepressant pills. So one day my cousin decided to engage her and say, you know what, sister, you come in and wonderful, but maybe it's good that I bring it to your notice. These are not things that you keep long term, and the repercussions and the nasty effects of this are long term. So with a sigh, she said, let me tell you my tale. This is just recently, about 2-3 months ago in our country. Come, I tell you my tale. My daughter got chatting online. Now the Facebook is over, now it's onto Twitter. So I was asking someone, if a person is on Twitter, what do you call him, a twit? I don't know, I'm asking. Because, you know, it continues every day, there's some new thing to plunge humanity deeper into the hole of immorality. Come, I tell you my tale. My tale is as follows. My daughter got chatting online. And as they camouflage and disguise, she got chatting with my husband. And they got into a very deep relation. And then you obviously branch off and you divulge information. And when, this is a non-Muslim girl, when she realized she was chatting with her father, She was so disgusted, she was so offended, she couldn't contain herself, she decided to commit suicide. And she put a note next to her bed, "Mom, run from this man, he's the most wicked creature I've ever met. I cannot tell you how immoral our conversations were on chatting. I cannot tell you how wicked, supposedly, my biological father is. I die, I cannot bear the pain. What? How immoral and, you know, how the romance type of discussion that we entered into when I discovered it's my father. I said, I'm better off dead. I am better off dead. And I beg you, my mom, leave this man and run as far as you can. أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلُّ. Allah put a thought in my mind. I was giving a talk recently and I say this humbly. When a person digresses from his object and he slips away, Allah doesn't say he's an animal. Allah said, you are insulting the animals by calling him an animal. Look at the verse of the Quran. Allah didn't say by calling him an animal, you're insulting humans. You're insulting the animal kingdom. Coin another phrase. Look for another word. Pity the animal kingdom, that's an insult to them. What's the words of the Quran? How profound. أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلْ. Look for something else. Don't disgrace the animals. Don't disgrace the animals. You and I have the formula to rescue the world. We're hoarding it. We are hoarding this formula. So we don't rejoice merely by having an occasion, which is great, it's meritorious. Just Friday, alhamdulillah, and I want to share this. I was in Cape Town, and brilliant. I was really blown away. There was a program in the Sira, and I was invited to participate, and I feel honored to be part of that program. A program that ran from 11 in the night till Fajr. My talk was at 3:30. Literally 3:30. I was captured. I was riveted. To see young and old coming together. The entire night was on the seerah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Praises, salutations, durood, lectures. It was buzzing, it was electric, it was wholesome. May Allah reward everyone who participated. It was just wholesome and amazing. Now when I said the master sallallahu alaihi wasallam was unique as a baby, that was an exaggeration. That was literal. And I share with you the narration. In Khasais al-Kubra, Allama Suyuti makes mention of it on page 100 in the Beirut print. I'm just giving these references for scholars so it's easy for access. And in Atlas al-Quran, it's on page 99, the same narration. Atlas al-Quran is very beautiful. It's in Arabic, Urdu, and English. It's a brilliant read. It's a very vast, encompassing on the noble life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Oh, listen to this. Halima radiallahu anha says, I just wanted to mention one other thing before I digress onto this year. When we look at the life of Abu Lahab, and we see this year, that although he had committed all the crimes, but he did one good. That one good had its benefits. I am saying to you, my young boy, don't club and pub and womanize. But Allah forbid if you did it, and when you come in back, and there is the urge of 2 rakat namaz, make the 2 rakat namaz. You've come back, you've done wrong, and he said, let me go to the masjid. Go to the masjid. Abu Lahab has to his account every wrong. وَلَهُمْ أَعْمَالٌ مِّن دُونِ ذَٰلِكَ هُمْ لَهَا عَامِلُونَ حَتَّى إِذَا أَخَذْنَا مُتْرَفِيهِمْ بِالْعَذَابِ إِذَا هُمْ يَجْأَرُونَ. Besides kufr, there's multiple other crimes. But the good did not go unrewarded, and that's the profound beauty of Islam. إِنَّا لَا نُضِيعُ أَجْرَ مَنْ أَحْسَنَ عَمَلًا. Allah says, if you do good, I don't grudge you for your wrong and forget your good. That's man to man. I reward you for your good, punish you for your wrong. How often don't we say when a relation is dissolved, which enjoyed a healthy 10 years or 20 years, at the point of departure, the most nasty things, the most unpleasant, the most unbecoming things, and all the good is destroyed. I unfortunately had the opportunity, I wouldn't call it an opportunity, but had to be present to witness many marriages being dissolved, annulled, fasakh, etc. It's the most bitter statement. It's the most bitter environment. And yet you picture these very couples a month ago or a year ago, we were sitting in the masjid and there was this electric atmosphere. There was this warm reception and greeting and recognizing. And this is my brother-in-law and this is Muhammad's father-in-law and this is Yusuf's uncle-in-law. This is Fatima's now future father-in-law. Oh, okay. So warm. And what happened to all these things? everything destroyed because of the bitterness. Islam is that beautiful religion that despite all the evil of Abu Lahab, the good remained a good and it carried its benefit and rewards. Just on that note, I share with you another point. And this is mentioned in Ruhul Ma'ani with reference to Bahri Muhit. Samiri. Samiri was the man who initiated the worship of the calf. Now, his crime was serious, was horrendous. The man who initiated the worship of the calf in the absence of Musa alayhi salam. When Musa returned, he admonished his brother, Ya Harun, ma mana'aka idh ra'aytahum dallu alla tattabi'ani afa'asayta amri. Harun, but I had instructed you to maintain, you know, order and discipline. What's this chaos here? So he said, listen, my brother, hear me out. I tried to engage them, but it was becoming ugly, unpleasant, it was getting bitter. So I felt, rather, let me maintain unity, and hence I did not become physical. So Musa alayhi salam respected his sentiments, and then he left him. Then Musa alayhi salam called this person Samiri. The Quran refers to him as Samiri. The footnotes of Jalalain refer to him, his actual name was Musa. His actual name was also Musa, like Musa alayhi salam. And in there, the very famous couplets are written, إِذَا الْمَرْءُ لَمْ يُخْلَقْ سَعِيدًا مِنَ الْأَزَلِّ فَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ رَبَّى وَخَابَ الْمُؤَمِّلُ فَمُوسَى الَّذِي رَبَّاهُ جِبْرِيلُ كَافِرُ وَمُوسَى الَّذِي رَبَّاهُ فِرْعَوْنُ مُرْسَلُ. This is also some example and food for thought. This person was born the year that Pharaoh had instructed the killing of the children. His mother took this child, whose name was Musa, Quran referred to him as Samiri, put him in the cave to protect his life. Allah sent Jibreel to nourish him, and this is mentioned in the footnotes of Jalalain, with reference to Sawi. Allah sent the angel Jibreel to nourish him and nurse him. And this very Musa who was nourished by Jibreel becomes a kafir. And Musa alayhi salam who was nourished by Fir'aun becomes a prophet. And that's what the poet said, إِذَا الْمَرْءُ لَمْ يُخْلَقْ سَعِيدًا مِنَ الْأَزَلِّ فَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ رَبَّى وَخَابَ الْمُؤَمِّلُ فَمُوسَى الَّذِي رَبَّاهُ جِبْرِيلُ كَافِرُ. The Musa nurtured by Jibreel becomes arrogant and infidel. وَمُوسَى الَّذِي رَبَّاهُ فِرْعَوْنُ مُرْسَلُ. And the Musa who lives in the palace of Pharaoh for 30 years becomes one of the greatest ulul azm anbiya that time has ever seen. Musa alayhi salam calls him, قَالَ مَا خَطُبُكَ يَا سَامِرِ. Samiri, why you initiated the worship of the calf? And he was so arrogant that apart from forming this calf, he told the people, هَذَا إِلَاهُكُمْ وَإِلَاهُ مُوسَى فَنَسِي. This is your God. And even Musa had made a mistake. I don't know where he's gone to Mount Tur. He should come back. This is his God. Such was his arrogance. Musa alayhi salam was in rage and anger, and he wanted to kill him there. In Ruhul Ma'ani, it is written, listen to me what I'm saying. Allah said, oh Musa, he is wicked. He has committed kufr. He's promoted kufr. But he's a generous man. Spare his life. He's a generous man. Spare his life. So he didn't have iman. Hence, it would not avail him in akhirat. But his generosity brought him good in this world. Abu Lahab died as a kafir. Hence, eternity in hell is the declaration of the Quran. But nonetheless, you rejoiced on the arrival of my Nabi. The good will come your way. The point I'm deducing is, my brother, I know my wrong, you know your wrong, my brother. And if we go down each one, we can just cry and we know how evil it is. But if the urge of a good comes, don't neglect it or ignore it or discard it in proportion to your other evil. Perhaps on the basis of that good, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make a favorable decision. Anyway, Halima Sa'diya radiallahu anha says, when the Master sallallahu alayhi wasallam was by me and I would suckle him. Now again, you read this and you say, Halima, you know, we say a cute baby, we say a bouncing baby, we say an adorable baby, and often they grow up to become monsters also. You know? But he was so sweet, man. I think he's, you know, following his father's footsteps. Those are the comments people make. Halima, I cry with tears of joy when I think how you latched my master. Halima, I go down emotional lane. I go down, what do I say? Where do I pluck up the courage? Where do I dig up the vocabulary? Where do I locate the sentiments? When she must have latched the master, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I gave you the reference. كُنْتُ أُعْتِيهِ الثَّدْيَ الْأَيْمَنِ فَيَشْرَبُ مِنْهُ ثُمَّ أُحَوِّلُهُ إِلَى الثَّدْيِ الْأَيْسَرِ فَيَأْبَى أَنْ يَشْرَبَ مِنْهُ. Halima radiallahu anha said, I would latch the master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the right side of my chest, and then he would drink the milk very calmly, very beautifully. And then occasionally I would turn him to the left side of my chest, but the master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would decline. He would refuse. I thought perhaps once, perhaps coincidence, you know, we say, no, burp him, his colleague, and all those other things. So I tried on the left-hand side, nothing doing. I give you the commentary that is mentioned in Khasais al-Kubra. قَالَ بَعْضُهُمْ وَذَلِكَ مِنْ عَدْلِهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ لِأَنَّهُ عَلِمَ أَنَّ لَهُ شَرِيكًا فِي الرَّضَاعَةِ. The scholars write, this wasn't a coincidence. This was a message from the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that while he was an infant, he displayed and was cognizant of the right of his foster brother. He said, I will not drink here, this is the share of my foster brother. How dare I devour or drink the right, the share of my brother, my foster brother. I'm saying my brother, when I said my Nabi was unique as a baby, I literally meant it. He displayed guidance as an infant while he was suckling. His message was, respect the right of the next one. He displayed recognition to the right of his foster brother. My appeal is, respect your blood brother. Today we want to eat with two hands. The entire pie belongs to me. إِذَا مَسَّهُ الْخَيْرِ مَنُوعًا. When good comes, he wants to embrace everything for himself. The Quran in a complaining tone says, وَإِنَّ كَثِيرًا مِّنَ الْخُلَطَاءِ لَيَبْغِي بَعْضُهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. And indeed, the average partner exploits. He thrives on the weakness of the other. He devours, he usurps, he abuses the relation. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. With the exception of those who have iman and righteous deed. وَقَلِيلٌ مَّاهُمْ. And they are a handful. What did Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi say? إِذَا لَمْ يَزِدْ عِلْمُ الْفَتَى قَلْبَهُ هُدًى وَسِيرَتَهُ عَدْلًا وَخُلُقَهُ حُسُنًا فَبَشِّرْهُ أَنَّ اللَّهَ أَوْلَاهُ نِقْمًا يُسَاءُ بِهَا مِثْلَ الَّذِي عَبَدَ الْوَثَنَى. Oh my word, that gives me a shiver in my whole body. He said, إِذَا لَمْ يَزِدْ عِلْمُ الْفَتَى قَلْبَهُ هُدًى. When the acquisition of the sciences of Islam does not increase your heart in guidance, وَسِيرَتَهُ عَدْلًا, and does not bring about justice in your character, وَخُلُقَهُ حَسَنًا, and does not adorn and beautify your behavior, فَبَشِّرْهُ أَنَّ اللَّهَ أَوْلَاهُ نِقْمًا. Then tell him he is not acquiring the knowledge of deen. He, Allah has inflicted a torment upon him. If the acquisition of knowledge has not brought this transformation to your character, then that is a torment upon you. If returning from Umrah and Hajj has not brought this revolution in your life, then Imam Shafi says, consider that as a torment. يُسَاءُ بِهَا مِثْلَ الَّذِي عَبَدَ الْوَثَنَى. I don't have the courage to translate this. The ayatul karima I recited in the beginning is the verse of Surah Furqan. وَلَوْ شِئْنَا لَبَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ قَرْيَةٍ نَذِيرًا. Allah said, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if we want, we could have reduced your task and send multiple prophets. But then if there's multiple prophets, the reward is divided. We want you to stand up on the day of Qiyamah alone with the reward. Read Bayanul Quran's commentary. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if we want, we could have sent multiple prophets in every locality. Reduce your responsibility. But then the credit of Abu Bakr goes to you and other prophets. Now you stand alone, whether it's Abu Bakr or Umar, Uthman or Ali. The credit goes to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The hadith I quoted, and that speaks volumes, is the character of Nabi alayhi salam. Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu is the narrator. Imam Muslim records it in his authentic compilation. He says, كَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ إِذَا صَلَّى الْغَدَاتِ. Whenever Nabi alayhi salam would perform the Fajr Salah, جَاءَ خَدَمُ الْمَدِينَةِ بِآنِيَتِهِمْ. The servants of Medina would come with their vessels and their containers, فِيهَا الْمَاءُ, in which there was water. فَمَا يَأْتُونَ بِإِنَاءٍ إِلَّا غَمَسَ يَدَهُ فِيهَا. Every day the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would immerse his blessed hand into the vessel and the container. While that speaks volumes on the blessed nature of the blessed fingers of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it equally speaks volumes on the character, the patience, and the amazing nature of Nabi alayhi salam. Anas ibn Malik goes on to say, فَرُبَمَا جَاءَهُ بِالْغَدَاتِ الْبَارِدَةِ. I would observe sometimes it would be the chill morning of Medina, the cold environment. When the atmosphere is cold, the environment is cold, the water is so much colder, the vessels and the utensils are so much colder. You would not see a frown on the forehead. You would not hear a moan or a groan. The master would religiously, diligently satisfy and appease everyone, thereby immersing his hand patiently till they were happy that sufficient barakat was transmitted into the water. I am saying, my brother, my master did it with the slaves of Medina. Can I not display that character within my own family circle, within my own working environment? And I'm going to touch here on a very sore nerve. And whatever Allah puts in my mind, I'm saying it. And I say it to empower myself. One of the areas in which we have failed miserably, and hear me out, and I'm saying this with a broad brush, I'm not targeting anyone, is that we have impressed many people and we have put up an image. And many people who enjoy a degree of status, recognition in society globally. But when we speak to those who associate with those prominent personalities, we tend to get a stench. We tend to get a foul smell. So globally there's recognition. The man sits on the international stage. He has recognition across the globe. But when I get close to those associates, those who sit in a common office, those who work in a common environment, those that meet in an admin block, those that interact with the very giant that I honor, respect, revere, I'm afraid the perception that meets us is quite different to what we respect about the person. And this is where we have fallen. But the Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whether it was Hiraql in his empire that called Abu Sufyan, Abu Sufyan also had to conclude he was amazing. I read one narration in the Shama'il. One person came to Abu Jahl and he said, Abu Jahl, it's Badr. Nobody is watching us. Talk heart to heart. Let's be honest. We're calling him a liar, an imposter and everything. But tell me the truth. What's the opinion about the man? He said, the truth is he's remarkable. He's never spoken a lie. He's amazing. This is mentioned in Nashrutib. He's amazing, I'm telling you. This is obviously propaganda, agenda, nasty, whatever it is. We're trying to promote our agenda into him. The Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as he had conquered those outside, equally left the humble Anas that worked under him for 10 years equally impressed. So there wasn't contradicting sentiments coming from the battlefield to the house. There was one common message being echoed: unique, amazing, blemishless, impeccable, flawless. Whoever you speak to. Now you say, you know what, how's this person? Well, it depends who you speak to. How's this man? Depends who you speak to. So it depends who plays, who puts what coat in. Who puts what coat in? You are what you are, my brother. What the Arabic poet said? شهد الأنام بفضله حتى العدا والفضل ما شهدت به الأعداء. شهد الأنام بفضله. The whole world had to compare, had to acknowledge and concede that the Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam was unique. To the extent even his enemies in the end had to say, we hate him, but there's nobody more truthful than him. There's nobody more truthful than him. Tibrani's narration, Abu Umama narrates it, there was a woman who used to indulge in immoral speech. Anybody who came into contact with Nabi alayhi salam felt the warmness of Nur and Iman. She used to indulge in immoral speech. She passed by Nabi alayhi salam and she said, Allah tut'imuni, why don't you feed me? Nabi alayhi salam passed a morsel from his blessed food. Sahaba say, we used to be eating with Nabi alayhi salam, وَكُنَّا نَسْمَعُ تَسْبِيحَ الطَّعَامِ, and we used to hear the food making subhanallah on the plate of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You sit with me, brother, you hear my stomach making gurgur. That's all. Sahaba say, we used to hear the food praising Allah, glorifying Allah. And you must see what Jalaluddin Suyuti has written. He says, the food praising Allah is not a miracle of Nabi alayhi salam, because the Quran said, وَإِن مِّن شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِهِ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَسْبِيحَهُمْ. The Quran is emphatic that everything praises Allah. He said the miracle of Nabi alayhi salam is that the praise of the food became audible, that it was heard by the humans. Hi, what these people go into, man. When they unpick and dissect and unpack, the night is young. If only you have that passion and you grip that kitab and read the life of the master, hours and days will go and you'll just tear and say, Allah, what a perfect human you sent. If only I can imbibe and internalize his life. She gives, Nabi alayhi salam passes a morsel of food. The narration suggests, Tibrani, فَلَمْ يُعْلَمْ مِنْ تِلْكَ الْمَرْأَةَ الْأَمْرَ الَّذِي كَانَتْ عَلَيْهِ. They say after that one mosel, she became one of the most modest women of Medina till she died. One mosel from the Master sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and there was a revolution to this woman. There was an instant change in her life. What guidance he gave off. Whoever came into contact had to walk out impressed by his character. The Nabi of Allah was just not a present father. He was an equally present grandfather. Sometimes grandparents think their only duty is to play with the grandchildren, which is wonderful, it's meritorious. But Nabi alayhi salam was an active grandfather. Ibn Asakir's narration, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu says, I am walking with Nabi alayhi salam. فَسَمِعَ صَوْتَ الْحَسَنُ وَالْحُسَيْنِ يَبْكِيَانِ. He heard Hassan and Hussein radiallahu anhuma crying. فَأَسْرَعَ السَّيْرِ. He hastened his pace. He returned home. وَهُمَا مَعَ أُمِّهِمَا. And they both were with their mother Fatima radiallahu anha. He walked in disturbed, perturbed. Fatima, مَا شَأْنُ إِبْنِي. Why are the little ones crying? What's happening? She said, Al-Atash ya Rasulullah, O Nabi of Allah, your daughter and your grandchildren have been thirsty, nothing to drink.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.